Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjani Hari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjani Hari.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi
ki jai.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Fourth canto. Which chapter is it?
31
and text?
30.
Shri Shuka Vacha.
Shri Shuka Vacha.
Eat yum yum yataman mrantya. Viduro gajasavayam.
Viduro gajasavayam.
Sanam didjikshu prayayau.
Sanam didjikshu prayayau.
Gyatinam nirvitashayah.
Gyatinam nirvitashayah.
Ityanam yam. Sorry. Ityanam yatam amantra.
Ityanam yatam amantra.
Viduro gajasavayam.
Viduro gajasavayam.
Svanam didrikshu prayayau.
Svanam didrikshu prayayau.
Gyatinam irvitashayah. Sanskrit is very tricky. Long A's are really long and the shorts are really short. Please chant.
Shri Shukha Vacha.
Goswami said,
Iti,
thus,
Ananya,
offering obeisances, Tam, unto my Maitreya, Amantriya,
taking permission,
Viduraha,
Vidura,
Gajasavayam, the city of Hastinapur, Sanam, home. Didikshu,
desiring to see,
Prayayau,
left that place,
Yatinam, of his kinsmen, Nirvikta Asheha,
free from material desires.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya and, taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. Srila Prabhupada purports, when a saintly person wants to see his kinsmen, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother Dhritarashtra to see if he could deliver Dhritarashtra from the clutches of Maya. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master and departed for the city of Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Kauravas. Jnananjalashalakaya Chakshurum Niditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation, one more, please, Prabhuji. Just a translation, if you may, please.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya and, taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. Pure devotees of the Lord see the Lord constantly within their hearts. Lord Baba says in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achinti Guna Swarupam Govindavari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Because pure devotees derive their entire existence from pleasing Krishna, they move wherever they go or whatever they do, it is simply to please Krishna. They don't have any independent agenda or program. So pure devotees are the representatives of Krishna in this material world. They travel around to help conditioned souls reawaken their ecstatic love of God. But when pure devotees themselves come together, they enjoy relishing the ecstasy of glorifying Krishna. That's the business of pure devotees. We see this especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. His Navadvip Leela is a householder in the house of Srivas Thakur. One time Lord Chaitanya came to all the devotees and said, what is this sleeping at night? This is a complete waste of time. From now on, for an entire year, you shall simply engage in kirtan all night long. And actually the acharyas inform us that this period, just as the Ras Leela was extended to a night at Brahma, 4.32 billion years, These kirtans were actually extended out billions of years, because Krishna is the master of space and time. Therefore, he contracts and expands time and space to enhance the loving exchanges between his pure devotees and himself. Material time and space are cruel implacable, merciless masters. If you want to travel in material space from one place to another, if you want to get to New York City, it's 200 miles. You have to either walk or take a train or whatever. That's the material space. But a yogi who can enter higher dimensional space using Prapti Siddhi can take one step from here and be in New York City. So even the non-devotional yogis immediately move to a higher level of material expertise. What to speak of pure devotees of the Lord? For pure devotees, Krishna does everything. The gopis were so pure, they wanted to satisfy Krishna's desire. So their desire is, it looks like kama, the acharyas say. It looks like material lust, but it's not. It's simply the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. So Krishna wanted to dance in the Ras Lila, and the gopis wanted to satisfy his desire. So Krishna expanded that night to 4.3 billion years. Who can imagine that? And it seemed to the gopis like a split second, because even though it was 4 billion years, because they were so intensely eager to serve Krishna. You know how time flies when you're having a good time. So that night, the Ras Lila for them seemed like a split second, although it was 4 billion years. Simply to satisfy his pure devotees. Krishna's policy is to satisfy his pure devotees, and the pure devotees' policy is to do anything to please Krishna. It's a wonderful reciprocal relationship in which neither side acknowledges defeat. In Adi Lila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it's explained that there's a constant competition going on between Krishna's sweetness, madhurya, and the devotees' intense longing to satisfy Krishna. So Krishna, he becomes, although he's already unlimitedly attractive, this is inconceivable. Everything about genuine spiritual life is inconceivable materially. Therefore, our philosophy is officially said to be achintya, veda veda tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. So if we have difficulty understanding it, that should not be a surprise. If Krishna could be easily understood, he wouldn't be God. God has to be something extraordinary, way beyond our mental power to comprehend. So Krishna is literally inconceivable, achintya. And the hundreds and thousands of different volumes of Vaishnava literature are an attempt to bring the inconceivable Lord within the framework of our conception so that we can begin the process of bhakti yoga. The actual comprehension of Krishna occurs in Vishuddha Sattva through revelation based on Krishna's reciprocating with our service attitude. That's Krishna's program for sadhakas. For siddhas, Krishna's captured in their heart eternally. For the pure nitya siddhas, or any other kind of siddha, you may be kripa siddha, sadhana siddha, or nitya siddha. Apparently we're already disqualified from the category of nitya siddha, being here. But the other two positions are still available, kripa siddha and sadhana siddha. And in fact, they go hand in hand because all the sadhana we're doing is simply to convince Krishna to give the mercy. We definitely do not advance by our own power. This is an illusion that neophytes get trapped in. They're working very hard. They work hard, say, on book distribution or working in the kitchen or whatever, and they're working very hard and chanting, and they're making some advance, and then they become a little proud, thinking, because of my austerities, I am advancing in bhakti yoga. Actually, that's a grand illusion, and Krishna finishes the illusion very quickly, as we know. Yes. Krishna is expert in deflating the false pride of his devotees. We're on the path of absolutely pure devotional service. It's not a cheap thing. The standard is extremely high. Therefore, Krishna, he says, okay, if you want mixed devotional service, you can play around with the material for many lifetimes, and he'll make you a rich man, and you can enjoy the material energy or become a demigod. But that's not what ISKCON is all about. Prabhupada's teachings are, or Lord Chaitanya's teachings are, nadanam, najanam, nasundariam, so everything, all material existence finished. In front of Lord Jagannath in Majjhila chapter 13, Lord Chaitanya was praying, O Lord, quickly, please quickly remove this useless material existence I am undergoing. So our program is very lofty. At least this is Prabhupada's program. Hopefully we have the same program as Prabhupada. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble very quickly. This movement is for full surrender. Sarvadharam Krishna, Mam Ekam Sharanam, Ek, Mam Ekam, exclusive, is Sanskrit, Ek. Becomes English exclusive. So The standard is very high, and therefore, as we're progressing, Krishna has to educate us externally by the words of the spiritual master and internally as the Paramatma. So as soon as our mentality is not pleasing to Krishna, immediately we lose taste in devotional service. This is how Krishna just controls everything. We are essentially beggars. Prabhupada always signed, your most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actually, he never took the title Prabhupada. But we are actually very insignificant beggars because we're helplessly dependent on the happiness we feel from Krishna. Without the happiness derived from Krishna, our pleasure-seeking propensity has only material existence as its outlet. So we're forced, if you're not getting the higher taste, you're forced to engage in sense gratification. No option. Param drishtva nivartate, Krishna says, 259 Bhagavad Gita. The only genuine nivartate, or turning away from, is achievement of param drishtva. Drishtva literally means vision, or in this case it means experience. Param drishtva nivartate means the only way to genuinely be renounced or to transcend material existence is by experiencing ecstatic love of God. So along with artanivriti, there must be pravriti. There has to be positive engagements along with the near. We cut off the lower sense grade and we aim for the higher. And this is seen graphically in the associates of Lord Chaitanya. They're just swimming in an ocean of ecstasy. Day and night. They're inundated. They're intoxicated. Lord Nityananda is said to be prema unmata. The English word mad comes from Sanskrit mada, mata. So prema, he's maddened with ecstatic love of God. And he's actually giving that to everyone else. When he went back to Bengal, in the end, in the final Leela, Anchalila, Anchakanda, Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are two main works on the life of Lord Chaitanya. One is Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, the other is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami. Prabhupada had a tough choice, which one to translate. They're both incredibly, super excellent. He chose Chaitanya Charitamrita because there's more philosophy. But the great Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Adilila chapter 8 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, if even a great atheist reads this book, he becomes a great devotee. I was thinking maybe we should mass produce this. But Prabhupada had he wanted us to read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, which of course also are totally transcendental literatures. But this one has a super special impact, according to our acharyas. Just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya's Leela, atheists are turned into theists. Because Lord Chaitanya is the most cool personality in existence. When he wanted to be an impersonal scholar, he would just, you know that in the beginning he was acting like an impersonal scholar. He didn't even act like a devotee. The devotees were praying to Lord Vishnu, please turn Nimai Pandit into a devotee. He's Mahabhava Prasad, he's Srimati Radharani, he's Krishna with the mood of Radhika. Radhika is the personification of Ladini Shakti, the internal pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. She experiences Mahabhava, the very highest state of ecstatic love. So Lord Chaitanya had, of course, unlimited access to that, but he did not reveal that in the beginning. See, Lord Chaitanya is just the most incredibly cool person. You know what he would do? He would just walk down the road as a very arrogant scholar. Just to put all the scholars in their place. See, Navadvip and Varanasi were the main centers of learning. Varanasi, or Kashi, is famous as a homeland of impersonalists. Even back in Krishna's time, there was Sudakshina, the son of Kashi Raj, who tried to attack Krishna. We all know that story from Krishna. So Kashi, or Varanasi, the English mispronunciation is Benares. The proper Sanskrit is Varanasi. Sometimes when I say Varanasi, it's Varanasi. We have to be careful about the shorts and longs. So Navadvipa and Varanasi were homelands of scholars, and they were all super puffed up. First, step A in the program is to take a grand title, like Bhattacharya, Chakravarti, or Mishra, Pandit. They have to have a big Brahmin title. It's just like the professors, exactly like Harvard University, or all the big, it's exactly the same thing, because they're not devotees. So the whole business is how to be honored by others. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I'm going to outdo all of you at your own game. So he would walk down the street as the most supercilious, puffed up, proud scholar, and he would just wipe everyone out in debate. effort, and he was only 16 years old too. They were all older. It was just mind-blowing, actually, what Lord Chaitanya would do. He was called Nimai Pandit. He got the name Nimai because he was born under a neem tree, so he was called Nimai. He was also called Vishvambara. Vishva means universe. Ambara means clothing or protection. So he who protects the universe, Vishvambara. He would just walk down the street. Whenever he saw anyone, even the devotees, he would challenge Murari Gupta, Murari, tell me what liberation means. And Murari was very intelligent. He's a pure devotee. He's Hanuman from Ram Lila. There's a book called Ganodesha, Gora Ganodesha Deepika, which deep means a lamp, like we offer to the deity. So that book, which sheds light on the associates of Chaitanya and who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who they are in their other Leelas, Krishna or Ram Lila. Most of them, the vast majority, are gopas and gopis from Vrajdham. Because the Vrajvasis are the greatest devotees of all, that's described in detail by Sanatan Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. That's an amazing book, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Prabhupada said, everyone who wants to know about devotional service, devotees in Krishna, must read this book. And Prabhupada wanted, he begged his disciples again and again, please take over management so I can translate all these lips. But Prabhupada never got to that one, but the guru worked through his disciples. So Gopi Pranadana has translated. Everyone has seen this? It's an amazing book. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It means the great nectar of the Bhagavatam. Brihat means great. Amrita means nectar. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And it describes in tremendous detail all the different levels. The transcendental world is divided into different sections. There's Vaikuntha, which is fully spiritual. But even above Vaikuntha, this is something you learn more confidentially, is something more intimate than Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is totally spiritual, no, nothing material. But it's mostly awe and reverence. Higher than that is Ayodhya, Lord Ramchandra's Dham. There's more intimacy. Hanuman and the great Vanaras, Lakshman and Sita, they're offering more intimate service to Lord Ram. But higher than that is Dvarka, more intimate association. But even above all is Goloka Vrindavan. And Gop Kumar, the main figure in the book, shows us by going to all these different places systematically and seeing the intense ecstasies. He's so pure that when he gets to Vaikuntha, he thinks there's nothing higher. In third canon, chapter 15, Bhagavatam is described, is called Description of the Kingdom of God, when the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha. There it's described that Vaikuntha, just by being in Vaikuntha, one experiences unprecedented happiness. It's just like, it's the Vishuddhasattva environment is just overwhelming ecstasy. Whatever you do, you're just constantly pervaded with overwhelming and ever-increasing ecstasy. But even higher than that, but there's not much intimacy there. Everyone is just basically blissed out, intoxicated constantly with the sweetness of their love for Lord Narayana, which is wonderful. But there's not so much intimacy. So more intimate then is, again, Ayodhya, and then above that is Dvarka. But even in Dvarka, Gop Kumar was feeling something missing. When he finally got to Goloka Vrindavan, all of his desires were satisfied. And the most incredible thing is Krishna came running, because when the soul finally goes back to the spiritual world, that's what's described there, after so long in the material and then going through all rigorous sadhana processes and elevating yourself to different lokas, when you finally get there, Krishna is so happy to get you back. Krishna came running to see Gop Kumara, who is actually his friend Sarupa, the brother of Sridhama and Srimati Radharani. So Krishna was herding the cows, and he turned to Sridhama and said, look, it's my friend Sarup. Finally come back. And Krishna was running in ecstasy, and Krishna fainted and fell on the ground unconscious. He was so happy to see his friend. And of course, Gop Kumara also fainted in ecstasy. They were just crying and embracing. So Krishna is so happy to get us back. Krishna is more eager to bring us back to Godhead than we are to go back to Godhead. So we have as our ally in the enterprise of self-realization a person with unlimited power. Krishna is our greatest ally and has unlimited power. He's just trying to help us. In the beginning stages, the help is to purify us of our anarthas. But as that purification progresses nicely, then spontaneously our taste awakens for hearing and chanting these literatures. So Brihat Bhagavatam describes the Goloka Vrindavan as the most intimate of all. There the devotees are day and night, they're just thinking about Krishna. Even when they go to sleep, like the coward boys are so unhappy when they have to go home in the evening because they've been with Krishna all day, but all night long they're just dreaming about their leelas with Krishna. And when Krishna blows his buffalo horn in the morning, they all run to the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj to assemble for a happy outing. And the gopis, of course, are the epitome. There it's also described there are different levels. Although everything is purely, pure devotional service, there's more intimacy, more intensity. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that each higher rasa includes all the lower ones. So Dasya rasa has Shanta mixed in, and Sakya has Dasya and Shanta, and Vatsalya has Sakya, Dasya, and Shanta. So Madhurya has all of them. So it's the most intense of all. So the gopis actually are the most intimate, the greatest servants of Krishna. And their feelings of separation are practically indescribable. Also within the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the incredibly moving story of how Akrura comes. Amazingly enough, the word Akrura means not cruel. But the gopis are saying, incredibly enough, this person who has the name Akrura is performing the most cruel act. He's taking away lotus-eyed Krishna. We cannot tolerate. Even one day without Krishna is overwhelming. So the gopis are saying, how will we survive? You're going away for who knows how many days. I don't know how long it'll take for you to kill Kamsa. Krishna says, my enemy Kamsa is very weak. I will crush him effortlessly and return very rapidly to see you. But their feelings of separation are so intense. They were crying and falling under the chariot wheels, and Akrura had to swerve the chariot to avoid all the gopis who were laying on the ground. Some gopis tore off branches of the trees and were whipping Akrura with the branches. They dragged him. This is Bihar Bhagavatam. They dragged him down from the chariot and they were beating him with their bangles. They were just like so. It was so intense. But Akrura had to do a duty. He had a thankless task. He was the son of a great sage, Svapalka. So he was afraid of the assignment of displeasing the greatest devotees, but he had to do his duty. So the Brihad Bhagavatam describes these different levels. And Lord Chaitanya was also completely exhibiting this, but not in the beginning. In the beginning, he acted just as a logician and a scholar. And he would even challenge the devotees. So the devotees would pray, please, Lord Vishnu, please turn Nimai Pandit into a devotee. But for a few years, Lord Chaitanya was doing this. He would just go around and defeating all the greatest scholars. And they were so puffed up, but after they encountered Nimai Pandit, they were deflated. All their false pride was deflated. Then one day came the great Digvijaya Keshava Kashmiri. Does everyone know the term Digvijaya? Dig means directions, and Vijaya means conquer. He who conquers in all directions. And this particular scholar was so proud that he was carrying a jayapatra. That means a list. He would carry a piece of paper and force his defeated opponents to sign. Can you imagine how puffed up they were? Not only that, but this particular Keshava Kashmiri, he rode into town on an elephant. He had a whole procession of many horses and elephants, like a king, with people fanning him and umbrellas, the whole works. And he was so incredibly puffed up. He had actually gone everywhere throughout all of India, to Kashi and all over the place, defeating all the scholars. They couldn't even understand his introductory discourse, what to speak of his main thesis. And the reason he was so powerful is he had received a benediction from Mother Saraswati that every shastra would appear in his mind whenever he wanted it. He had a photographic memory by her grace. She would just supply the information. She would appear on his tongue when he was debating. So who can imagine, you know, Mother Saraswati herself. Another important point is sometimes when we're preaching to people, they say, they confront us. You say that women are less intelligent. We can respond by saying, it's not a god. It could be a male god, but it was a goddess, a female. So actually learning is under the control of Saraswati. So actually the women have superior intelligence. Another point is Lalita. In Krishna Leela, the hot-tempered Vama Paksha Lalita, she's the epitome of left wing, and she chastises Krishna severely, and she's so brilliant, she defeats Krishna in debate. Even though Krishna is assisted by Madhu Mangal, his Brahmin advisor. The debate usually starts out like this. Madhu Mangal says, "How can you hesitate to debate with ignorant village women, gopis, when you have me, the epitome of rabbinical learning, on your side?" So then they begin a debate. For example, when Radharani is picking flowers, there are many leelas like this. She's picking flowers to offer to Surya. Wait a minute. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't worship demigods. What's going on here? There's actually demigod worship in Goloka Vrindavan, but it's all a game. In the material, it's a serious thing. You have to, if you're not a devotee, you have to worship demigods and do yajnas because you're incurring sinful reactions at every step. But in Goloka Vrindavan, people are worshiping demigods as a joke. It's just fun and games. So Srimati Radharani is actually, every day she worship Suryadeva. Now, there's always internal and external aspects to all the leelas. So, the internal is she has to get out of the house of Jatila to meet Krishna. The gopis actually see Krishna during the day, not just at night. It's very interesting. There's a book by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. In fact, that's how he got the title Kaviraj, which means best of poets. Not for Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is unbelievably super excellent itself, but for a book called Govinda Lilamrita, which describes the Ashtakaliya Lila. The 24 hours of Krishna's Goloka Vrindavan pastimes are divided into 8 three-hour sections. So a materialist says, aha, I knew Krishna was just like me. He has to be at a certain place at a certain time. Just like I have to go to work at a certain time. No, you missed the boat. There's a general framework, and it's amazing. If you read Govinda Lilamrita, it's time to the minute. Like the Nishant Lila begins at 3:24 a.m., not 3:25. Not 3:20. The Nishant Lila, the beginning in Lila, begins at 3:24 a.m. Time to the minute. So that's because time is actually, as I was mentioning, it's a cruel, implacable master in the material, but it's actually a servant. Time and space can contract and expand unlimitedly. Krishna can make every second into a night of Brahma, 4 billion years. So the ignorant materialist who thinks Krishna is constrained to be at a certain time in a certain place to do a certain thing has missed the boat, because time and space are fluid elements. That's the revolution that Einstein introduced into physics. Before Einstein, no one understood that time and space are malleable elements. Newtonian physics has time and space as immutable background elements. They don't change. Space and time are, they're beyond, they're transcendental in Newtonian physics. But that's actually a mistake, because space and time are dependent on concentrations of matter. That's what Einstein realized. And that's actually Vedic. The far-out thing is, if you study the history of physics, I used to be a scientist before I became a devotee. If you study the history of physics, at every step, each new innovation by the materialists introduced another Vedic element into the West. Because Lord Chaitanya had a whole plan going, to use Western technology to spread Krishna consciousness. Only the devotees see the deeper plan of the Lord. The deeper plan is, Lord Chaitanya, he began a spiritual revolution in India, but he, of course, had his eye on the entire universe. In fact, actually, to be honest, according to Anshulila chapter 3, text 79 purport, 79 through 82, when Vasudev Dat requested the liberation of all living entities, Lord Chaitanya liberated all living entities. Christopher Columbus, all the Europeans, every rat in London, in the London subway, every living entity from bacteria all the way up, Stavara and Jangama, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchula chapter 3, text 79 to 82, the Stavara, that means stationary, and Jangama, moving living entities, were all sent back to Godhead because Lord Chaitanya, again, is so enchanted by the pure devotion of his pure devotees. Vasudev Dat is a pure devotee of the highest caliber. He requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my heart breaks to see all these living entities suffering in material existence. Please send them back to Godhead. So when he made this request, Lord Chaitanya, and he said, if their karma is so great that you don't think they're fit to go back to Godhead, I'm ready to go to hell and take the karma of every living entity in the universe What inconceivable devotion. I'm ready to go to hell for as long as it takes to equalize the sinful actions of every living entity. And we know when the two, Jagai and Marai, were delivered, then Chitragupta was going crazy, was completely fried, having to write down the sins of just those two. What to speak, in the Kali Yuga, everyone is like Jagai and Madai. So the sins of all living entities are practically uncountable. And Vasudeva Dutt, with a pure heart, he said to Lord Chaitanya, this is our book decision, meditation, why we go out there all the time. We're in the mood of Vasudeva Dutt undergoing difficulties to try to deliver living entities. So he's very sincerely, he said, I'm ready to take all the karmic reactions of all living entities. I'm ready to suffer in hell for as long as it takes to equal all that. And Lord Chaitanya began crying in ecstasy, and he embraced Vasudeva Dutt. This is the perfection of devotional service. When your heart is so pure that your activities simply conquer the Lord, he's conquered. Lord Brahma says in 10th canon, chapter 14, prayers, Krishna is ajita. Ajita means unconquerable, but he becomes conquered by pure devotional service. Indeed, nothing else can conquer. He's everything else. What else will you bring out to impress God? Certainly your erudition, as Lord Chaitanya showed, he was more erudite than everybody else. Indeed, he's giving. He gives Matta Smrita Jnana Mapovanam Cha, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Whatever paltry and insignificant intelligence we possess is given to us by God anyway. So when we try to display that paltry and insignificant intelligence in front of the reservoir of all intelligence, we simply become ludicrous. And Brahma Vimohan Lila. When even Brahma, when he tries to exhibit his mystic powers in front of Krishna, becomes ludicrous, ridiculous. What to speak of us? We're trillions of times, compared to Lord Brahma, we're like insects. So when we get puffed up, it's the most stupid thing in the universe. It's utterly ridiculous. So that's we have to use sambandha gyan to conquer this tendency to become proud. Because pride is what separates us from ecstatic love of God. That's the major impediment. The other things, gross sensuality, can be easily overcome. But false pride is the major problem. And it can be overcome by sambandha gyan, which means an analytical understanding of our relationship with God. Basically, we have nothing, and he has everything, to put it simply. Because whatever little thing we have, he's giving us anyway at every second. It's an interactive process. Matta Smriti Jnana Mapovanam Cha, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. At every second, Krishna supplies knowledge, intelligence, and remembrance. So if we're actually humble, we can taste the nectar of the Hare Krishna mantra, and we become addicted to hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So as soon as the mind becomes carried away with delusions of grandeur, you have to smash it instantly. Otherwise, it'll kill you. You have to kill it before it kills your bhakti. The program of the mind, Prabhupada said in one lecture, is to keep you in the material world forever. That's the program of your mind. So if you don't feel like hanging around in this material world forever, then you better kill your mind. That's the whole program of sadhana bhakti. Kill it as quickly as you can with the weapon of hearing and chanting and surrendered service to the pure devotee. That's what kills the false ego in the mind. So this scholar, he came into Navadvip, very puffed up, with the whole procession, and he came to the bank of the Ganga. Nimai Pandit had his school by the bank of the Ganga, where he was teaching. And he came there, and he was so puffed up, like he was just, you know, wearing all these opulent clothes, and the elephants and horses and people fanning him. The whole works. And Lord Chaitanya is so amazing. At first, to increase the scholar's false pride, he began glorifying him. He said, you are so advanced in knowledge, I'm not even qualified to be the disciple of your disciple. Please describe the glories of Mother Ganga. If we can hear from your own lips, we will certainly make advancement in spiritual life. So the scholar became even more puffed up, and he began describing. For 3 hours, he began speaking. He spoke 100 shlokas as fast as the blowing wind, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As fast as the blowing wind. And all the students, Lord Chaitanya had hundreds of students sitting there in the school, they were all struck with wonder. They said, oh Ram, is there a human being who can speak like this? We've never heard such erudition, such brilliant, ornamental, poetic usage of language. And he just went on for 3 hours, and everyone was speechless. And Lord Chaitanya, when he finished, Lord Chaitanya applauded and said, "Your poetry is so brilliant. We cannot even understand the depths of meaning and the wonderful alankar, that means ornamentation, that you have used in the Sanskrit poetry. If you would please describe the good qualities and faults of your verses, then we will be so indebted to you." The Digvijaya said, "Faults? There are no faults in my verse. None of them. They're all perfect." And Lord Chaitanya said, If you will just hear me without becoming angry, we can find some minor mistakes that you have included in your exposition." So the Digvijaya said, "You're just a student of beginning nyaya or logic and grammar. What can you say about advanced poetic composition?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "I have heard from authorities, and I'm a shrutidhar, that means I have a photographic memory, so we can find some, if you don't mind me saying something about these verses, we can actually find some discrepancies, despite the other ornamentation." So the Digvijaya said, "Which verse do you want recited?" Lord Chaitanya recited one of the verses to prove that he was a shrutidhar, although the Digvijaya had recited 100 verses as fast as the blowing wind. Lord Chaitanya recited the 69th verse perfectly, 66, one of those two verses. Was it?
Bhavani Bhuta, 67.
Yes, 67? Thank you so much. See, he's the real Shrutidhar.
Bhavani
Bhartur. Yes. The Bhavani Bhartur verse. Lord Chaitanya said, "Now, if we analyze, we can find 5 prominent good qualities and 5 faults." And he began. He just completely outdid the Digvijaya. And everyone was just utterly mesmerized by Lord Chaitanya's analysis. In fact, Lord Chaitanya was so brilliant when debating with someone, he could establish a whole thesis in such a way that everyone was speechless. They could say nothing about that thesis. And then Lord Chaitanya said, invited him, "Now, can anyone refute this? Can anyone say anything to overturn this or show any?" And no one could say anything. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, here, I'll show you something." So he would go through a whole other exposition and completely dismantle and annihilate his first position with another thesis. And by then, everyone was just rolling on the ground in awe. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Can you say anything to refute this second position?" No one could say anything. And Lord said, "Well, you know, here's what we can do with this one." So he would then defeat that and establish the original position again. By that time, everyone just was surrendering. That's all they could do was surrender. He had to deflate the false pride of all these puffed up scholars. So he did this with the Digvijaya, and the Digvijaya was speechless. And while the debate was going on, he turned inwardly to Mother Saraswati, as usual, to receive her powers, but she was silent. He had to rely on his own paltry intelligence, and he was totally wiped out and defeated. And he was struck, he was speechless, he couldn't say anything. So he went home that night, and Lord Chaitanya was so kind, even after all that, he said, "You are far superior to me, you're just a little tired because you were traveling all day, and you had to recite 3 hours, so naturally you're a little bit tired. I'm sure that you're far superior to me. So let's come back tomorrow and we'll speak again when you're a little in proper consciousness." So Lord Chaitanya was so kind that whenever he would defeat someone, he would do it very gently. And that night, the Digvijaya went home and prayed to Mother Saraswati, "What offense have I made that you have neglected me? I went all over to Kashi and all over the place, wiping out scholars left and right. You always supplied knowledge. Why not this time? Why did you defeat me through a boy, a 16-year-old boy?" Mother Saraswati said, "This person, who you think is a 16-year-old boy, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself. I derive all of my knowledge from him. You should go to him. Don't be a fool. Go to him and surrender tomorrow. The point of all your learning is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you didn't get that point, you've missed the whole boat. That's the whole point of all the shastras. Sarva dharman puritjaja. Mame kam sharanam bhaja." So he went the next morning as the sun was rising. The Digvijaya, with the greatest scholar in all of India, with a whole procession, he went to Lord Chaitanya and fell at his lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you doing this? You're superior to me. I'm just a boy. I'm just a new student of logic and grammar. And you're a great scholar. This is unbecoming of you to offer obeisance to me." And the scholar said, "I know the real truth. Mother Saraswati has revealed you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And he became a pure devotee. This was actually a very happy ending. Other scholars did not. But he became a pure devotee, and from then on he went around glorifying Lord Chaitanya, using his knowledge to defeat nonsense philosophies and please the Lord. So that was a greatly successful point in this. Actually, we were going to describe a lot more. Shall we continue? Because the
continue and then continue tomorrow as well. Maybe
yes, anyone who needs to leave can leave. The amazing thing is that Lord Chaitanya, he did not exhibit, oh, thank you. He did not exhibit ecstatic love of God until he took initiation from Ishvarapurya, a jiva. Because Ishvarapurya, of course, was a pure devotee. His spiritual master, Madhavendrapurya, introduced a whole mood into our sampradaya that didn't exist. Madhavendrapurya's spiritual master was Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was, of course, a pure devotee, but he didn't have the mood of Vipralamba, Srimati Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. That mood was brought into our sampradaya by Madhavendrapurya, who's actually an intimate associate of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. In Madhyalila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the famous verse of Madhavendrapurya is described there. And there it said that only three people could understand that: Lord Chaitanya, Srimati Radharani, and Madhavendrapurya. No one else could understand the verse. Because it was bringing this mood of viraha or vipralamba, ecstatic love and separation, that Srimati Radharani feels from Krishna. So Ishvarapuri had served his spiritual master so nicely, even to the extent of cleaning up his stool and urine when Madhavendrapurya was invalid in old age, and always chanting the pastimes of Krishna to remind him. Madhavendrapurya didn't really need any remembrance. He was totally absorbed. But anyway, Ishvarapuri was doing the proper, what we do, like when devotees leave their bodies in Vrindavan, we try to help them remember. Because most of us are sadhakas and we need help. The time of death is an excruciating experience. But some persons who are nityasiddha do not need any help. They're so absorbed that they can't even tell the difference between day and night. That's described in Madhyalila chapter 4 when Madhavendrapurya came to Vrajdham. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami said he was so absorbed in ecstasy he couldn't tell whether it was day or night. Can you imagine being that deeply absorbed in ecstatic love? This is our Shastra, this is our Acharyas. It's the most incredible. That's why we should read and study. These books are a great gold mine because they introduce us to the psychology of pure devotional service. How devotees practically relish their relationship with Krishna. This is how devotees relish their loving relationship with Krishna. They're just intoxicated with the sweetness of their love. In Madhyalila chapter 4, when Madhavendrapurya came, he actually discovered a deity that was buried. It was the first recorded incident of psychic archaeology. He came to Vrajdham and then he was just overwhelmed with ecstasy and he just sat there chanting. He didn't sleep. He didn't eat unless someone offered him. That's how he was totally off the bodily platform. So he was just sitting there chanting in ecstasy and Krishna came to him with a pot of milk. Krishna said, in my village no one fasts. And Krishna did not allow Madhavendrapurya to recognize who he was. This is all in Madhyalila chapter 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna says, if someone is doing a fast, I just supply them with their eatables. So Madhavendrapurya was struck with wonder seeing the beauty of Gopal, but he just thought he was some ordinary cowherd boy. He didn't realize it was the original cowherd boy, Gopal himself. And then Gopal left the pot of milk and then suddenly disappeared magically. And Madhavendrapurya was struck with wonder. What is going on? So he drank the milk in ecstasy. He would go for weeks. He just didn't. He was so renounced. His vrata, his vow was he would never ask anyone for anything. You can do madhukari. You can ask. A saintly person has the right to ask householders for a little bit of prasad. But some are so advanced, like Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Our lineage is especially exalted. Personalities like Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Raghunath Das Goswami, These are personalities who are so exalted. They're so off the bodily concept. They're just so internally absorbed in the leelas of Radha and Krishna. They don't want to waste time. They're just eating and sleeping. So it's so inspiring to hear. We try to work. Of course, obviously, we're nowhere near this, but we have to have a role model. The materialists have role models. You need a role model in every endeavor. Our endeavor is the enterprise of attaining pure devotional service. And the role models are described in the Shastras, particularly Gaura Leela. Because in Chaitanya Leela, they're all pure devotees from Vraj Dham, transplanted to Navadvip. So Madan Puri was just meditating, and he didn't sleep, he was just chanting all night, and all of a sudden, well, he dozed for a few minutes. That's all, he was just asleep for a few minutes, and then Gopal came in the dream and said, "I'm hiding in the bushes, please rescue me. I've been there for a long time when the Muslims attacked." You know, the Muslims would break deities. So this particular deity was installed by Vajra, a grandson of Krishna. So he was so pure, he was the grandson of Krishna. He wanted to make sure that the pastime places of Krishna were properly worshipped for all time. So he would go around installing deities and establishing holy places 5,000 years ago. Deity was 5,000 years old. When the Muslims attacked in more recent times, the pujari hid the deity in the bushes and ran away because the Muslims would break deities and kill the devotees. So the deity was saying, "For many years I've been suffering in this bush, not eating anything. It's not too hot, too cold. Please take me out." So Madan Puri awoke and went into the village and had all the people install the deity on the top of Govardhan Hill and begin worship. Very beautiful worship. And that deity is now worshipped as Nathji. Where is he now?
Nathdwara.
Nathdwara means the gate to the Lord. Because Natha means the Lord, Jagannatha, and Dwara means door. So that's the gate to the Lord. That deity is still there. They had to move deities around because of Muslim attacks. So the pure devotional service is described there, and Madan Puri going into ecstatic trance and reciting the prayers that Sri Radhika did. This was Lord Chaitanya's mood. Lord Chaitanya said, "I got this mood from Madan Puri through Ishwarapuri." So when Madan Puri was leaving his body, Ishwarapuri was cleaning up his stool and urine, and Madan Puri blessed him. "You receive ecstatic love of God." That's all it takes. The blessing of a pure devotee. Prabhupada is of the same stature. Just by doing book distribution, you go on year after year. Prabhupada said you're guaranteed to go back to God by this endeavor. So Prabhupada will bless you to achieve ecstatic love of God. And it's not that you have to wait till the time of death. As you go on, gradually your taste will increase as the years go by. The more years go by that we keep on the straight and narrow path, trying to control our senses, trying to serve the mission, all the things we have to do, then your taste for hearing and chanting will simply increase astronomically. It's unlimited. It's literally unlimited. In the house of Srivast Thakur, or Lord Chaitanya devotees, they'd be rolling on the ground, roaring like lions. Lord Chaitanya's body would become as soft as fresh butter, or as hard as a pillar, as light as cotton, or as heavy as a mountain. All kinds of magical transformations were occurring. The devotees were rolling on the ground. This is described in great detail in this book, Chaitanya Bhagavata, which concentrates more on the Navadvip Leela. So the devotees, they were just wild with ecstatic. It's described they would become wild like lions. They would climb out onto fragile branches of trees and out into little twigs. This is physically impossible. They're just dancing on twigs. As you get out to the narrow branches, they cannot support the weight of a human being, but all the devotees were empowered. Vrindavan Das Thakur said they had all mystic powers. Not in a show-off style, they're just intoxicated with love. They would run around grabbing onto big trees and just yank them out of the ground. One devotee was yanking out 5 trees at once. Little kids that were fasting for a whole month, running around saying, "Jai Nityananda, Jai Gauranga," just an ecstasy, "Jai Gornitai." They were just uprooting trees and fasting, and this is all in this book, Chaitanya Bhagavata. This is the most amazing book, actually. If you want to have a mind-blowing, every page introduces you to a new mind-blowing experience. It's just saturated. It's like a river of nectar. Everywhere you go, the devotees are intoxicated with happiness. And when you get thinking like this, then you begin to realize This is our whole life and soul. When we're out in book decision, we've been internally absorbed. Wherever we go, we'll be internally absorbed. That's what bhakti is all about. And we have to practice. We have to work gradually in this direction. So before I receive the kala danda, the rod of punishment for being over time, but there were many other things we wanted to talk about, unfortunately. So I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments.
I just wanted to share one or two pastimes with Guru Maharaj this last couple of weeks in relation to what you were saying. You're saying that when pure devotees get together, they just relish Krishna. So Guru Maharaj was giving a lecture and he was explaining that they were in Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's Tirtha and with Giriraj Maharaj and Nandavasvara Ramana Swami, he came in. And Janivasvara was just sharing how he feels that he'd been kicked out of Mayapur Dhamma. He's so humble, so exalted.
He's
He actually felt like he was being kicked out of Mayapur Dhamma after all this time that he'd made so many offenses to the devotees. And Radhath Maharaj is saying this is the mood of a pure devotee. Like he feels he's not puffed up, that he's taking Vodichanda's shoes everywhere, you know, for everyone's benefit, that he's actually feeling this way, that he's been kicked out, he's made these offenses. And another just very quick pastime was we went to on a walk with Guru Maharaj through Central Park and we walked and he was just walking so fast. We had to run to keep up with him. We had to run. I had a cramp in my side and the only way that you could keep up with him was to totally immerse yourself in Krishna's mercy and Guru Maharaj's lotus feet. That's the only way you could keep up. And he knew he would look back, he would turn around and he would look back at us and just to see if we were keeping up. Where is your consciousness? You know, what's it? I'm testing you, I know I'm testing you. Come on, you can do it. Giving us that mercy. And then he would stop and by a waterfall he would stop and we would chant some rounds with him and keep going. And at the end he'd smiling at us all, you know, very grateful that we passed on some tests.
Yeah, Janivasu, for 40 years he's worshipping those deities there. His mind is totally peaceful, totally absorbed and transcendent, so he can just do that service effortlessly. And Radhanath Maharaj, of course, is unbelievable. He was living in the Himalayas, eating one carrot a day, living in caves with scorpions and spiders, tarantulas. He'll do anything. That shows the willingness to do anything to find God. He didn't know Prabhupada, of course. He hitchhiked across Europe. It's unbelievable, risking his life in so many ways. Then when he found Prabhupada, he was totally dedicated and did absolutely miraculous things in the service of Prabhupada.
He's just adding to the story that Prabhu you were explaining about Keshav Kashmiri. It's Keshav Kashmiri asks Mahaprabhu, that, what's the fault that you're looking about? Mahaprabhu says, in that verse, you used a phrase called as Bhavani Bharata. And then Keshav Kashmiri said, what's wrong with that? He said, that's wrong usage, because you wanted to refer to Lord Shiva, but you said Bhavani Bharata, and Bharata means the husband, and Bhavani means the concept of Lord Shiva. So the usage of Bhavani Bharata gives a meaning, the husband of the concept of Lord Shiva, giving an interpretation that goddess Parvati had two husbands.
Yes, that's
right. He said
that.
This is completely bogus, because you are actually misleading people by playing on our chastity. But the word is, you wanted to refer to Shiva, but you made this mistake. And Keshav Kashmir was just deflated. He was on the ground thinking, who can ever think of that? And adding to what Mataji was saying, there was another devotee who was saying something very similar to what you said. The one time Maharaj arrived in Mumbai and he was dancing. It was God Purnima evening. He was dancing like a transcendently mad man. Such an excellent devotee saw that he was almost levitating. His lotus feet wasn't even touching the ground. He was like, he was just in the air. And that's God Purnima evening. He was like spinning and rolling and jumping. So, I mean, could be some relevance of what we're reading in the scriptures to the reality of the life of pure devotees. Inconceivable.
Also, Prabhu, your to really smash the mind. I'm constantly feeling so complacent in my service, you know, just wanting constantly, just wanting to be comfortable, just wanting, you know, I'm always just praying, how can that desire be, you know, diminished or removed, to just be comfortable and just always want to serve the Lord, you know, instead of being comfortable.
As soon as we get a little complacent, Krishna reduces the taste. So we should always be aiming for that highest taste, stay on the intense edge, the intense mood of trying to advance in devotional service. Because when you back down, then you lose taste, you become unenthusiastic and bored and tired in devotional service. And we don't want, as Satchitananda beings, our nature is Satchitananda. We're supposed to be experiencing Ananda at every second. If we're not experiencing Ananda, it means we're not fully absorbed in devotional service. And we'll feel that lack. So always be attentive, alert, introspective. Prabhupada says we should be introspective to see when the nonsense mind is trying to make you be too complacent.
I have a long way to go.
We all do.
Same here.
The best advice is to stay in association with others who are really trying to make advancement.
Okay.
If you're in association with others who are not trying so hard, then you'll naturally it'll be a little, you'll back off. Always try to hear your rounds, chant in front of Tulsi, try to chant all 16 straight through as much as you can. Chant in front of Tulsi, read every day, absorb yourself in reading, not just read, absorb yourself in reading, absorb yourself in chanting, that's what kills the material mind. Lord Kapila says in the third canto, you dissolve the material mind. Our goal is total war against the material mind. You have to dissolve it. And you have to constantly, because as soon as you relax, the mind comes back again.
Yeah.
Maybe for a few years, you've been totally fired up, and you've just, as soon as you relax, until you finally killed it, it's going to again try to engage you in material activities. Because that's its nature. That's how it's built.
I remember when you said about the mind, when I just joined, I found one music, it was called My Mind is Vrindavan. And at that time, I just thought, and it was amazing, it was like Brijabasi singing, and I thought, my God, this is like the mind, like, so if your mind becomes Vrindavan, that's it. So like you can live in the material world, but your mind became Vrindavan. So it's like completely not material, so whatever you see, it's Vrindavan. Just, I got that expression from that recording. I guess there were just Brijabasis who lived there, they were singing.
That's, in Madhulia chapter 13, Lord Chaitanya said that, Mora, Mana, Vrindavan. My mind is Vrindavan. So that's Lord Chaitanya. That's our program, is to be so absorbed in the Shastra that our mind becomes non-different from Vrindavan. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
your key.